Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. For those who have downloaded this program later, we welcome you as well for calling into the ministry. We hope that you will feel that the Lord's blessings are coming upon you when you hear this. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, my friend. Please stand by for a few seconds. Brother Johnny, welcome.
Hey, how you doing there, Brother Kelly?
We're doing okay. Just let the viewers know that you're going to be speaking tonight, and also, interesting to know that you had a Blog Talk ministry yourself a while back, and you're planning on doing it again. So why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about it?
Okay. Well, yes, it's Brother Kelly. Yeah, we want to tell everyone that, I've been on here. This will make the third time that I've been on here with you, and I've really been appreciative of being able to come and take part, Brother Kelly, on your Blog Talk Radio here. But I do have one as well that I actually had done this about 5 years ago, and quite honestly, I'd really sort of forgot about it. And here, whenever we started doing this, I jogged my memory, so I got to look at it, and I went back, looked it up, found it, got back in it, and it was a Christian perspective is what I had called it, a Christian perspective. So you can look it up with Brother Johnny Embry, but that's on block, but that's the way we refer to it. And I'm going to start using that again. So if anybody out there is listening, if you get on Blog Talk Radio and look up a Christian perspective, that should pull me up. It's under Johnny Embry. So, and also, if you would like to get in contact with it, you can also find me. I also do a broadcast for any new listeners that's tuned in tonight. I do a broadcast on a Box 2 radio network that you can find on my broadcast runs on Wednesday evenings and at 6:30 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time. At 6:30 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time every Wednesday. You can look that up also at www.bethelfmi.org. So, and then you can, that'll take you to it. That's bethelfmi.org, and that'll pull up Bethel Fellowship Church Ministries. That's our church. If you go to the menu button, you'll find Box 2 Radio on the menu. You go, you click onto the Box 2 Radio. That will take you to the Box 2 Radio Network's leaf, if you will, the attachment there. And then you'll find, and if you'll follow it, it'll have click listen now, and you can hear it. So you can also tune in and listen to that as well. All right, Brother Kelly, but that's just introducing some of that. Now, anything else you want to say there, brother?
No, I'll just open up for a word of prayer, then I'll let you take over. Lord Jesus
okay,
Christ.
Okay, sounds good. Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to lead Brother Johnny and what you want him to tell someone who's listening tonight. We need to hear your word, and we'd be touched by it, Lord, and feel your communion coming to their heart, Lord, your spirit, and burn them with fire, Lord, that they'll feel the baptism of your spirit, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ does reign forever. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. All right, then. Well, again, it's really great to be back out here on Blog Talk Radio this evening. Now, I'd already pretty much introduced myself. Brother Johnny Embry is my name, and I really appreciate Brother Kelly. He has become a very dear friend of the Lord. We attend church together here in McDaniels, Kentucky. So that's out in the middle of nowhere, if you will. Bethel Fellowship Ministries. Of course, I've done give the previous information you can find us at. So tonight, I want to get on in here just in a little bit. We're going to get started here shortly. I want to go to the book of Joshua, this evening, And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the last chapter. So on it, because I was praying. We've had a very, very busy day. I had to make a trip up to Louisville, Kentucky today. Yeah. Last chapter, Joshua 24. We want to go to Joshua 24. I thought that's where it was at. This scripture that the Holy Spirit was dealing with me just a little bit ago, just a few minutes ago. I've been praying. I had in my spirit, you know, Brother Kelly, as I was sharing last week, you know, we had a great time last week when we were talking on here and sharing how that the Holy Spirit just gave me a scripture. Well, just a little bit ago, this scripture started coming into my spirit about halting between two opinions. Halting between two opinions. And so tonight I want to go to the book of Joshua here, and we're going to start reading in the book of Joshua. Joshua 24. Now, if you'll know, folks, if you study the book of Joshua, you'll know that Joshua took over. And then we'll get into Joshua 24 here just shortly. But first, I want to lay a lid just to take a few minutes here to lay groundwork. And a foundation, and then we'll get on into the scripture reading here. But first thing I want to say, if you are out there listening tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your heart, and that is simple as this, in your heart, in the innermost part of your man or woman, whichever way you may be, your inner part of your being, if you do not have that blessed assurance and witness of the Holy Spirit that you've been born again through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not made that personal commitment in which the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, but it also says that what saith it, Romans 10, what saith it, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if you'll believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him with thy mouth, believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. There's no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is rich over all who believe. Also, 1 John 1:12, I believe it is, to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. And that word sons, we have to understand that in the English language we would think, oh, is that talking about just male? No. Sons talks about descendants. It literally means descendants. In other words, we are birthed into the kingdom of God through a born-again experience, through receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, believing on him. We must believe that Jesus is. We must believe that he was the Son of God. We must believe that he was born. We need to believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. We need to believe that he lived a sinless life, that he was the Son of God through a miraculous birth and conception. He was immaculately conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He was raised up. He lived a sinless life. We believe that he preached the word of God. We believe that he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, and the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we believe that. We believe that he was the Son of God, and we believe that he lived a sinless life, that he came to the cross, of which he was accused of being a heretic in the wrong, when really he wasn't, by religion. In other words, people who had a religious order, but they didn't have born-again experience in their heart, of the Jews, of the religious Jews, that did not have the experience or a relationship or revelation of the Holy Spirit to who Jesus was, rose up against him, inspired the people against him. They lied upon him. He was arrested, took before a Roman whipping post. He was beat to a bloody pulp. Of course, the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. And then we know he was led away, condemned first by the high priest, Caiaphas. Then, after being condemned to death, of course, under Roman law, they had to go to the Romans that day. So he was took before Pilate. Even Pilate says, I find no fault in that man. His own wife even said, have nothing to do with this man. I've suffered much in a dream because of him. But he took Barabbas and Jesus and presented them. Barabbas was an evil, murdering guy. Jesus was the sinless, endless, innocent Son of God. He put them before the people, and the people said, kill Jesus and give us Barabbas, because they did not know who he was. And he was then condemned to death. They took him, and he was crucified on the cross of Calvary, suffered, bled, and died, put in there, and he was put in the tomb. We believe on the third day, early in the morning, just before sunrise, the Bible says that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal clay body. Let me say it again. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we believe the Holy Ghost raised him from the dead early in the morning. The angel rolled the stone away, and Jesus came into a new glorified body by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he was given life forevermore, and he came out of the tomb, and we know that some 50 days later, he was before some 500 people. He was seen to some 500 people, and he said, go ye and tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power on high. And we know that Jesus was ascended up in the clouds, and he was ascended up, and the clouds took him away. And, of course, the angel said, came to the people and said, why are ye standing here gazing up in the clouds? For this same Jesus that was took away will return in like manner. But go ye to Jerusalem and tarry there till you are endued with power from on high. And we know that some days later, we know that he was it was some 50 days after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost. We know that they had endued there, and it ended up there was 500 seen him ascend, but only 120 ended up there at in that day. But we know that in the upper room at early in the morning, around 9 a.m. or so in the morning, as a sound of a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Ghost came, and people got filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And we know that Peter stood up and said, these men and women, they are not drunken as you suppose, seeing this but the third hour of the day. It would be 9 a.m. in the morning. He said, but this is the promise of the fathers, that you be endued with power from on high. That this same Jesus whom you have crucified, the Father has glorified. He died, buried, rose again. Now the Father has glorified him. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever liveth to make intercession for you. He said, but every one of you that who are willing to receive, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You'll find this in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to get back to Joshua. I'm just leading up in what the Holy Ghost is giving me here, because we're going to come back to Joshua 24. But he said, men and brethren, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has now glorified. That he has ascended, seated at the right hand of the Father, and says, today, if you'll repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, you shall receive also that same promise of the fathers like these men have. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And they confessed their sins. They asked Jesus to come into their heart when the convicting power of the Holy Ghost came up on them, and we know that 3,000 people got saved at that point. Another time, another 5,000 people, another point, got saved. We know the salvation message is receive Christ Yeshua, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your heart, confess your sins, ask him to forgive of your sins, wash away your sins, believing that without the Lord Jesus Christ, him and him alone, through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way into heaven, that you would receive remission of sins, that you confess your sins, ask him to forgive you of your sin, wash away your sin, come into your heart, be your own personal Savior, and receive him as Lord and Savior, then you can, and if you'll do that, if you'll, just like in the days of Pentecost, just like today, if you'll confess, ask Jesus to come into your heart, be your own personal Savior, thou shalt be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you also can be saved. So tonight, and then if you once know him, and you backslid and don't know let me rephrase it. You have backslid and you've walked away, and now today you don't have the sweet presence of the Lord in your heart, but there's just this convicting power that you know that you're wrong, and the Holy Ghost is convicting you to come back and get right and cry out in repentance before God. First John again, right? First John chapter 1, chapter 2. If we walk in the light and if we walk in darkness and say we're in the light, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then truly our joy will be full and our fellowship with him. Truly, our fellowship is with the Son of God. If we say we have no sin, when we do, we lie and do not the truth, and we make him a liar. But if we will confess our sin, that word there, actually, if we confess our sin, it actually means transgression. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and restore us to the joy of our salvation and restore us into right standings with God and refill us with the Holy Ghost. And we will have that fellowship and communion and sweet intimacy with the Lord. So I know we take a few moments, but I think that is the whole gist of the gospel preaching, is to get souls saved, to make sure we're right with God. Now, with that said, before we go off there, I'm going to pray tonight, and I pray that convicting power of the Holy Ghost will fall on each and every one out there listening to me tonight. Now, I want to come back now. With that all said, we're going to come back now to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Going to look in here at Joshua. Now, remember, Moses, on the day we go back, we know that, of course, Moses led the children of Israel out of the land of Israel during the Passover days, the days of Passover. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They each one had to get a Passover lamb, and they had to offer up that Passover lamb. And God commanded Moses to command everyone that on the night of whenever the death angel would pass over and all the firstborn would die. And that the morrow, the next day, God would deliver them out of their bondage of Egypt, where they had been making the bricks for Egypt. They had lived over 400 years that they had lived in the bondage of Egypt. You can actually go back into the book of Genesis, and I forget exactly where that is in Genesis, where that God had even prophesied to Abraham in the book of Genesis, whenever he had God had Abraham to go kill a sacrifice, split it apart, put one half on one side, one half on the other. He passed through the middle of it, a great darkness for him, and a great fear and dread came upon him, and God began to prophesy him, and he said, your people will go down into, he said, your people will ultimately go down into Egypt. They will corrupt themselves. They'll be 400 years in bondage. Then I will deliver them. That's actually a prophecy in the book of Genesis. And then we know that that prophecy ended up coming to pass, where ultimately Joseph, in the days of Joseph, whenever God, his people ended up down in the land of Egypt, we know Joseph was raised up in his, if you study the history, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm giving you a quick verse. I challenge everyone to go back and read the book of Genesis, but we know that Joseph was sold into slavery by his family because of their because of their jealousy, because Joseph had a dream. He had that dream that that there was like there was a bunch of stalks, I think it was, and all the rest. His stalk was bigger, and all the rest of them come and bow down. And then there was another dream where that they had bowed down to him. He had a dream in which twice he saw his brethren bow down to him, and he told his brethren about it, and it made them all mad, and they become jealous. So they sold him. They were going to kill him. Actually, they were going to kill him, but Reuben, his brother, protected him and took him and said, no, let's don't do that. So they agreed together to go sell him to some gypsies, and those gypsies ended up taking him down into Egypt. But then they put, and then they had the coat of many colors. I'm sure you children have to remember the coat of many colors that Joseph's father made for him, Israel. Joseph's father, made him for him. And, Jacob, who later became Israel, I'll get it right here, Joseph's father, Jacob, who later became known as Israel, made for him, but then they put the blood on it and said that they had found him, and they believed he'd been devoured by wild animals. So we know Joseph goes down into Egypt, he gets sold into slavery, he ends up in Potiphar's house. Then he ends up 14 some odd years in a jail, in prison, getting prepared. I think it was God preparing him. But then we know that night came whenever there was the baker and the other one, and they had some, or actually the Pharaoh had a dream, and whenever he had the dream, Joseph goes and interprets the dream. and the dream comes to pass, and then ultimately, of course, that's whenever he ends up getting to go there, but ultimately there's the dream. He goes and interprets it, and Joseph becomes leader in the nation of Egypt. And then for 400 years he goes, and his own brothers come, his brothers come to him, and they don't even know who he is. They come because there's 7 years of good and 7 years of bad. And Joseph, well, that was the interpretation of the dream of Pharaoh. And so Joseph is put in there, and then Joseph prepares them for it. Then there's 7 years of famine. His brothers come during the famine. He gets reconnected with them. He gets reconnected with his father, and they all move down into Egypt. And then we know for 400 years they're in Egypt, but during the time, in this 400 years, folks, we know that there was a time of the 400 years they were serving the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. But when Joseph was king, or actually second in command, but during this 400 years, God's people began to move away from godly values, and they got tainted in the nation of Egypt. And rather than following the biblical, the commandments of the, see, during this time when Joseph, now, folks, I'm leading up to a point because we're going to come to the book of Joshua here in a minute. I know I'm laying the foundation here, but I want to, we're going to come down, but I want you to understand whenever we get to the book of Joshua here. I want you to understand why Joshua says what he says to the people in Joshua chapter 24. There's a reason for it. Now, 400 years, God's people, whenever they were with Joseph, they go down to the lands of Egypt, they could hear the voice of God. Joseph could hear the voice of God. But then as they get into Egypt and they begin to get underneath the Pharaoh and they get into the things of the world, they begin to, God's people, Abraham's descendants, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, the Hebrew people, and remember, God made covenant with Jacob, changed his name to Israel, and the birth of the nation of Israel and it comes into being. Actually, there was actually the covenant made with Abram. His name becomes Abraham. Then God makes another covenant with Jacob, and his name is changed to Israel, or God's chosen. So they are God's chosen people down in the living in Egypt, but they've corrupt themselves with the things of Egypt. They corrupt themselves with the desires of Egypt. They begin to fall prey to the worldly ways, and in 400 years time, they become, because of the lustful desires of Egypt, and they give themselves over to the lustful desires of the flesh, they get in bondage to the nation of Egypt, and they no longer can really hear the voice of God anymore. But there was a group, a very small remnant of people who was crying out to God, because 400 years later they begin to cry out and they say, deliver us, God, deliver us. A very small remnant is crying for deliverance because no longer do they hear the voice of God, but they become the slaves to Egypt, and then the evil taskmasters begin to get on them. And folks, this is where they get so caught up in the things of Egypt that they into the lustful desires that Egypt begins to own them, and then so Pharaoh begins to control them, and he begins to make, and they're having to make bricks for Pharaoh to build the great pyramids, and God's people becomes enslaved and they are oppressed. So they cry out for a deliverer. So God begins to hear the cries of Egypt. So he, in the course of time, he raises up one. And there was one born to a woman. His name was Moses. And we know that they, and even old Pharaoh hears about the prophecy that there was a rising up. And so we know that there was the time of when Pharaoh was trying to kill out. Let me back up a minute. I'm about to get off there. There was a time of when Pharaoh saw that the nation, that God's people was beginning to exceed and become more than the Egyptians. he begins to tell the women to kill off the Hebrew. It was the handmaidens, or the ones that delivered the babies. And so, but many of them quit doing that. And we know that Moses' mother became pregnant and she was going to have Moses. And we know that the lady that came to deliver Moses in that time, she didn't do it, but rather Moses' mother delivered him. And so once delivered, she goes and she puts him in a little they make a little basket. She puts him in the River Nile. She sets him off course. And then Moses, the baby Moses, ends up, of all places, at Pharaoh's daughter. And she sees Pharaoh's own daughter. She sees this little baby, and she takes it up. And she knows it's a little Hebrew baby, but she was without child at that moment. And so she wants to take him for her own. And then she goes. And now tell me, God don't work in mysterious ways, folks. She goes, finds, and it turns out to be Moses' own mother, hires her to take care of the baby. And Moses ends up, and Moses' mother ends up, and she brings him into her own house, but she brings Moses' mother to take care of him. And he is raised in the nation of Israel. I'm sorry, in the nation of Egypt. Moses is raised in the nation of Egypt. God raises him up, but then we know in the course of time, the first 40 years of Moses' life, he spends in the nation of Egypt. But then he begins to know and understand that he was a deliverer, but he tries to trust in the arm of flesh. He starts trusting in it. So what he does is there was a time come up, and he began to go out to his own people, and he saw how the evil bondage of his own people is going on. And then he sees that one of the Egyptian men is beating on one of his own people, and he goes and he ends up, he gets in anger, and he rises up, he kills one of them. And whenever he kills them, see, that's trusting in the strong arm of the flesh. Then they said that the prince Moses had killed one of them. Of course, there was the issue. Then he becomes an outlaw, so he runs for his life. Moses goes out into the desert, and he ends up at Mount Horeb under Jethro, and he spends another 40 years of his life. Again, another 40 years of his life. Moses, as he takes the wife Zipporah under Jethro, who becomes his father-in-law at Mount Horeb. Now, and the reason that I'm taking you through this tonight, folks, is I want you to learn something. Remember what I told you, how during the 400 years of the bondage of Egypt, God's people got to where they couldn't hear the voice of God because of the bondage and the lustful desires of Egypt. So God ends up causing Moses to go out and he runs to Mount Hor. He meets up with Jethro, who was a priest of the Most High God. Oh, glory to God. He's a priest. Jethro was a priest of the Most High God. And he, whenever he goes and gets underneath Jethro, Moses spends 40 years of his life tending the sheep. But as he was under the priest, he starts learning the priesthood. Now, we don't know a lot about Jethro's priesthood. He's kind of like a Melchizedek character a little bit that showed up with Abraham, and Abraham gave a tenth tithe offering unto Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God over Salem. If you go back and do a little bit of research, you will know that, I know I'm jumping around, so I'm just giving you a little background here, but we know that, now remember, Jethro was a priest that Moses went to and who became his father-in-law, but also there was a time back in Abraham's day whenever Abraham was coming back from the slaughter of whenever Sodom and Gomorrah and those folks in the cities of the plains took Abraham's nephew Lot and his people and took them in captivity, and Abraham went, fought, and took Jethro, took Lot, and his people back, and he took the spoils, and he met Melchizedek, which means priest. It was king of righteousness, and he was king over Salem, which means a city of peace, and that also comes back to the name of the city of Jerusalem, because the name of Jerusalem is city of Salem, City of Peace. And so we know that we believe that was the we believe that's where the Jebusites probably ultimately came from, before the city of Jerusalem first originated, was with the Jebusites. And we believe that's the first origins or first mention of the city of Jerusalem, because Abraham gave a tenth tithe offering to Melchizedek, because he was what? A priest of the Most High God. Now, we come back down to Moses' day. I know I'm giving you a little background research here, but we come back down to Moses' day. And in the days of Moses, after Moses fled Egypt, after killing the Egyptian, he ends up at Mount Horeb, and at Jethro, who was his, who became his father-in-law, he married Zipporah, his daughter, and he and Jethro was what? A priest of the Most High God. So we see a priesthood. We see priesthoods being mentioned here, folks. And a priesthood is ministers of God. We see them being mentioned here. And we don't know a lot about their origins other than just that they are mentioned. So 40 years, Moses is taught about the priesthood. And he is taught how to what? Hear the voice of God again. He begins to be able to hear the voice of God. It takes 40 years. Remember, he spends the first 40 years of his life learning the thing that he learned in the ways of Egypt. He spends the next 40 years of his life learning the ways of God, tending the sheep, learning how to take care of sheep, learning how to be a shepherd, learning how to be a pastor, a shepherd or a pastor over people, but most of all through the priesthood of Jethro, his father-in-law, at Mount Horeb, where was the place of God. He learned how to hear the voice of God, and he learned worship. He learned how to worship in the priesthood. Now, when the fullness of time came after 40 years, Moses is going along one day tending sheep, and he comes along, and there's this burning bush, and all of a sudden, he sees this bush burning, but it's not being consumed. He said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight. For there is a bush that is burning, and it's not being consumed. So he goes to it. And as he goes to it, it says, the Lord spake out of, literally the Lord, there was a presence of the Lord in the fire, because it said the Lord spake out of the burning bush. It literally says that. And he says, take off thy shoes, for where thy stand is hallowed ground. So Moses took off his shoes, and he bowed down, and God calls him and says, I'm going to send you, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, I'm going to send you down into Egypt. Go down to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go, for I've heard the cries of thy people, and I am sending you down to deliver my people out of the clutches of Pharaoh. Of course, Moses was like, who am I? I can't even talk. And he says that you would sin. So he tells him, he says, is that your staff in your hand? Cast it down. And it becomes a snake. And he says, now grab it. And Moses is like, what? And he says, no, grab it by the tail. Now, remember, folks, if you're ever going to grab a snake, you would, and it becomes a venomous snake, a poisonous snake. If you're ever going to grab a snake, you would grab it by the head, not the tail, because if you grab it by the tail, it'd swing around and bite you, kill you. And he says, grab that by the tail. So Moses, by faith, had to trust God. So he grabs his venomous, poisonous snake that his staff had turned into by the tail, and it becomes his staff again. And he says again, he wanted another one. He says, take thy hand, put it in thy vest, pull out. And it was leprous. And he says, put it back in there again. Then it was clean. So God shows him and confers on him some great supernatural things occurring. And he says, go down, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Find your brother Aaron and take him with you, which means that most likely that Moses and Aaron, and also his sister as well, Moses' sister, Miriam, they must have kind of kept tabs with one another. I suspect they did during that 40 years of time. They probably kept tabs with one another. So anyway, but Moses, he goes down to Egypt. He finds his brother Aaron. He finds his sister Miriam. He says that God sent him. They go to Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. So we find this time now of where they go, and they go before Pharaoh. And now I know some of you saying, Brother Ember, you ain't got Joshua 24 yet. I told you, I want to lay a good foundational work till we can. And then this will all make sense here in a little bit. as how we're going to tie this in. So we're going to come to Joshua 24. You just stay there and bear with me, because I'm following the Holy Spirit. We want to lay a good foundation here to make the point. And that is, so Moses now and Aaron goes down. They go to Pharaoh, and he says, Moses goes up to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And he says, "Who am I that I should let you go? Who's your God that should let you go?" And of course, so God tells Moses, tell him there's going to be these plagues. Now, we know that there was 10 plagues that was sent. Because Moses goes down 10 separate plagues. Now, folks, I may not take the time here to go through each individual plague, but I do want you to understand each plague that God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, each one of these plagues is going to come up on you until you let my people go. Well, each one of those plagues was specifically against the gods of Egypt. Okay? Now, folks, I want you to understand. Now, I want you to get this. This is very important to get when we get to Joshua. And it's also very important to us today, because we're going to tie this into the New Testament and the New Testament believer here today in a little bit. But here's what you must understand. Each one of the plagues that God sent on Egypt, and he had Moses to go to Pharaoh, was against each God, because Egypt had 10 major gods that they worshipped. They worshipped the god of the sun. That's how come it become dark. It was a plague where it was dark for 3 days, and yet there was light in the tents of the Egyptians, yet it was dark. So dark, they said it was a darkness you could feel. You couldn't even see in front of your face, and yet there was supernatural light in the tents of Israel. So we know that was one of them. We know there was the plague of the locusts, and of course they worshipped the god. And see, the locusts came and destroyed the crops of the nation of Egypt because they worshiped the gods that gave them food and crops. Then there was the god of the river Nile, God, and Moses, God said, Moses, tell him we're going to turn the river Nile into blood. Well, that was extremely important, because out in the middle of the desert, the river Nile was the lifeline, the water. There was the god. It was a god they worshiped. Now, remember, God's own people worshiped some of these gods. We later find that, folks, because if you go back into the book of Acts and you look into the preaching that Stephen does when they're in the book of Acts, right before they stone Stephen to death, we know that Stephen said in the book of Acts that when God led the people of his people out of the nation of Egypt, that they came out, that they had the god of Ramses and another god. They had these gods with them that they carried out of Egypt. So we know God's own people were worshiping these idolistic gods. And see, God was demonstrating to his own. Now, it was also to the nation of Egypt. But I think it's very important to understand that God was not just trying to demonstrate something to Egypt and Pharaoh. In fact, I think more importantly, I think a lot of the demonstrations was really more to God's own people. And I tell you why I think that. Because each time that Moses went up and he came against this god, his own people, see, you got to remember, God's own people has lived 400 years. They're tainted with the gods. They're in idolistic worship. They were believing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, but yet they had these gods of the nations of Israel also. I'm sorry, the gods of the nation of Egypt as well. So they were kind of trusting in two separate gods here. They were trusting in two different types of gods. They believed in the God of Abraham, but they also believed in these gods. So God was showing who was the most powerful God. He was demonstrating this to his own people, who really was God and who really isn't God. They had to understand that the prosperity of the nation of Egypt was not, let me say that again, the prosperity of the nation of Egypt that the God's own people, the Hebrew people, were trusting in, wasn't coming from the gods of the nation of Egypt. They were coming from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, of Israel. But they, after 400 years, they had lost sight of that. They didn't know how to hear the voice of their God anymore. They didn't know how to recognize who their God was. So God is now demonstrating, wow, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's now demonstrating to his own people. Now, and you're going to say, Brother Embry, what about Joshua 24? We're getting there. Stay with me. So, but he says, He demonstrates. Now, the River Nile, when he turned the River Nile into blood, and folks, that was a tremendous thing, because that means that those days that blood flowed in that river, many of their livestock, many of their cattle, many of the nation of Egypt's people died, and because it was blood, and that was coming against their God, and yet the nation of the Hebrew people in their cisterns had pure water. Their water didn't turn. So God is the one who supplies as the real anointing. God is the one who will satisfy the real thirst. You see, that was right there. That comes back into the spiritual sense of the New Testament. Because, folks, you got to understand, God is the one that satisfies the real thirst. It's not the gods of this world. It's not the things of this world. It's not it's not the things of the spiritual Egypt of today, the world that's going to satisfy your thirst in the desert. It's God, and it's the presence of God. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob. Now, but we know that it, now, coming back, I know I'm preaching, but still, we come back again to where Moses goes up, and each one of these plagues comes against the gods of the nation of Egypt, demonstrating that the God of Moses is more powerful. But folks, here comes the ultimate one. But Pharaoh still, you know, each time there was one, each time Moses went before him, he says, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh refused. Now the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and I think a lot of that, what that really, really means is this: Pharaoh was so trusting in his own gods, and that every time he saw the demonstration of Moses as God, well, it just made him that much angrier, because he really didn't believe in the God of Moses; he believed in his own God. So that hardness, because of his refusal to believe in the God of Moses, so that hardness, and then that comes back to the New Testament, because in the New Testament, in the book of, I want to say 1 Corinthians 4, I believe it is 2 Corinthians 4, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 4, where it says, "Harden not thy heart in the days of the pre-provocation, whenever the people saw his works and proved him 40 years, harden not your heart." You see, Pharaoh's heart got hardened because he was seeing a literal demonstration of the power, but he was so caught up into the things of the world and so against Moses that he could not receive, but even seeing the very demonstration of the power of God. Now, folks, I want to tell you, you've got to remember, God's own people was seeing the demonstration of the power of God, but we're going to find out here in a little bit how even in their own visual demonstration later we find out that still wasn't enough. But we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, coming back then, finally, Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says, "The greatest of all plagues is coming." He says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh refuses, and he said, "For a terrible thing, God's going to take all the firstborn." And so he told all the nation of Israel, he says, "Kill them." He said, "Get you on the first day of the month." He says, "I want you to get to 11. Now, remember, this took a period of time. This didn't happen overnight, folks. This took a little while. He told him, says, "I want you." Moses told the people, says, "I want you on the first day of the month. I want you to get a lamb, a perfect lamb sacrifice. It has to be absolutely perfect, without blemish. And you want to set it apart, each one for each family member said, and each one for a family. We're going to get that lamb sacrifice, and on the 14th day of the month, you're going to, whenever it comes on that 14th day, you're going to kill that lamb sacrifice, and you're going to drain its blood, you're going to roast its flesh, you're going to eat the flesh, and you're going to drain out all of its blood, and you're going to take that blood, and you're going to put it on the side two doorposts and on the mantle over it." And he said that very night, and on this day, it's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be a great day, because the Lord is going to deliver you from the land of Egypt this night. But for those who refuse and don't, it's going to be a terrible day, because it's going to be the death of the firstborn. Now, folks, you must understand that judgment was also on the Hebrew people as well. Now, stay with me. Some of you may not even realize this, but go back and study your scripture. It says that this particular judgment was going to fall from Pharaoh's house right down to the handmaidens and the bond servant and handmaiden. Well, the only bond servants and handmaidens in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Egypt at that time, was the people of Israel. You see, that was all. That same judgment was going to fall on the Hebrew people, because God was putting his own people to the test as well. If they did not obey by first getting the lamb sacrifice, watching it, making sure it was perfect, and taking its blood, putting the blood on the doorpost and the mantle, then coming together, cooking that, eating, roasting that flesh, and roasting on fire and eating that flesh that night. He said, eat it all up, because this is the Lord's Passover. See, they had to obey, because if they did not, they too also, their firstborn would die as well, the firstborn of each house. And you can study this more in the book of Numbers, whenever the first, talking about the firstborn, because that's how come the New Testament says that Jesus is the firstborn among the brethren. And Jesus, our Passover lamb, and he's the first fruits among the brethren. He's the firstborn among the brethren. See, Christ fits all of this. Now we come back to that time of whenever that happened, and we know the death angel passed over and all the firstborn died. And finally, that's whenever we know that Pharaoh called Moses, told Moses, he warned him, he said, take thy people and out, get out, get out, take thy people and go. Remember, Moses had tried to get them to go out and let them go out in the desert. You remember, it was one time, if you'll remember, Moses went before Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. And he said, I tell you what, your men can go out there and sacrifice 3 days, but the women and children's going to stay back. And Moses said, nope, ain't going to work that way. We're all going out. We're going to go out in the desert. We're going to make sacrifice to our God out in the desert. Of course, you know, Pharaoh didn't even let them do it, but then he said, go, 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 go out in the desert, go. After the death of the firstborn, out they went. So by some estimates, this may have been as much as 2 million people, maybe something like that, on it. So what do? They all get together, and he gathers them up, and they spoil the nation of Egypt. I mean, they go and they give them. I mean, they give them great accessories, food, and great riches, and jewelry, and just great riches. And they spoil the nation of Egypt, and out they go. Now, we know Moses and them was out. They followed, and they were on their way out. And then it says that the Pharaoh hardened his heart again. And after they had done it, they ended up coming to that river. If I remember, I think it was the River Jordan, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, they come to the river, and we know that Pharaoh hardened his heart, sends his again. Because remember, folks, even once you're delivered, I want you to understand, folks, this is all in typology of us today, okay? But even then, even after the death of the firstborn, even after the blood applied, even after they had been delivered and set free of the bondage and out they went, Pharaoh still come after them. I just like the devil now. The things of the world will come after you. Even after you're born again today, they'll still come after you. And he went after them. But Moses saw they come, and of course there was the cloud by day, pillar by night. They were following it, and they come up to the river. And then when they come up to that river, then all at once they realize that here is Pharaoh's army behind them, and here is the river in front of them. And the people begin to murmur and come, you know, and they're like, oh, my goodness. And it says, and then they begin, what do we do? What do we do? And it says, Moses said, stand back. See the glory of God, for he shall deliver you this day. And we know that the cloud of fire that they had been following, it says that that cloud went before them and that pillar of fire night went. And it said that cloud literally went and got between the nation of Israel and Pharaoh's army. Whoa, don't that just bless you? It said that cloud went and got between them. And it says a strong east wind blew all night long. Moses stretched forth his staff, and a strong east wind blew all night long, and the rivers parted. And the Bible says that they walked through on dry land. And they went through, they walked through on dry land. Then God released, and the Pharaoh's armies with Pharaoh in front of them, we believe, followed, and they followed into that water. They went right after them and right into it. But as the nation of Israel come up out of that water, Moses said, this is a great deliverance you're going to see today, for you're going to see how God's going to set you free from the power of the enemy. And at that moment, once they come out, Moses's command went forth. I think he dropped a staff, but anyway, the camp, the command went forth, the waters come back together and literally destroyed Pharaoh's army. They were destroyed. God's people was delivered. But did God's people really believe him? Did God's people really believe him? I mean, because they were going out into the land and God was going to take them to the land of milk and honey. No, that we know that no more than God had delivered them, they went and began to build the tabernacle of Moses and established the. They led them all the way to the mount. They come all the way up through Mount Horeb again, Mount Sinai, I think it was. Actually, Moses led them all the way to Mount Sinai, and they come to the base of it. They heard God's voice, but then they rejected. So Moses went up, and he went on the top of the mountain. They corrupted themselves. Some 3,000, we know, rose up that day, corrupted themselves, come against Moses. And we know they built a golden calf. Remember, a calf was one of the gods of prosperity. That's what the golden calf was. See, when they made that golden calf, and gold was one of their gods. See, Israel, Egypt worshipped the god of gold and the god of silver. They worshipped the calf. That was the god of prosperity. And there they went again. They corrupted themselves again. And, of course, we know God told Moses, get down as he was giving them the law. Come down off of the mountain. He went down. Because Moses said the sound of the war. You know, I think it was Joshua told Moses there's sound of war in the camp because Joshua and them had went up with Moses. But Moses said, no, it's not the sound of war, but the people corrupt themselves. So they went down, Moses come down, seen that corrupted themselves, worshiping the golden calf. They made themselves naked before it, dancing around, back to the things of the world again, worship of the world again, into the idolistic worship of the world again. And, of course, Moses began, he called the Aaron's sons, and they got together, and they said, who is on the Lord's side? And, of course, we know that, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think at that point in time, a bunch of them died. There was a bunch of them died on that point. Then we know that, and Moses ground up that thing to powder and made them all drink it. Many of them died at that point. Then we come to a time, again, where there was the rebellion of Korah, and some 3,000 rose up against Moses and said that wanted to go back into Egypt. Said, why did you lead us out here to die? Well, we'd have been, would to God we'd been better off to stay in Egypt. They wanted to run back to Egypt again. After seeing all the great power of Moses as God, but they was getting ready to go back, and some 3,000 led that they even went against Moses and the tabernacle, but it says that Moses went before the tabernacle, and the Spirit of God came, I think, in a cloud, and there was a great earthquake, and the earth opened up and swallowed some 3,000 of them when they come against Moses again. We know they saw this out in the desert, but because of this rebellion, because of that, they wandered 40 years. They wandered in the desert and never got to go into the promised land. But we know now that we come to the time of whenever Joshua has led the people of Joshua leads the people of. We know the time of Moses comes. He dies. And and Joshua is raised up the leader, and then we know that Joshua leads them into the promised land, and they go against Jericho. And there's all of these great battles. Of course, we know there's the sin of Achan. We talked about that last week, you know, folks. And then Achan and his family died because they lied. But yet there was Rahab, the harlot who was saved because she put that linen scarlet, another symbolism of Jesus. We see that in that. And we know they took the Jericho and they won as long as they obeyed God. Now, with all that said and done, I want to come now. I wanted to lay this foundation. We see Joshua them going in and taking the promised land. War after war as they go in and they take the promised land, but they go into the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we come now, and I want to start reading to you today in Joshua chapter 24. In verse 1, it says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Sinai, Mount Seir, and to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Remember, I was telling you, we laid this foundation now. So it says, verse 4 of Joshua 24 says, and I gave unto Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Sinai to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen of the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, that means drowned them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. Remember I told you, folks, remember I told you earlier that I said that I believe that a lot of the reason for a lot of the great supernatural miracles was more for the children of Israel than the other? It said, and your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hands that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Egypt and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he had blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you have went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Hezrites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Gershites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites, and I have delivered them into your hand, and I have sent the hornet from before you, and drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. I have given you a land for which you have not labored, and cities which you have not built, and you have dwelled in them, and of vineyards and of olive vineyards, and you have not planted, and which you planted and did not eat. Therefore, vineyards and of olives which you planted and did not eat. Verse 14. Now, I know we're almost through, but here's what I wanted to get to tonight. Verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up out of the father, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went, and among all the people from which we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord. He is God. Now listen to this, folks. He said, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, and he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are a witness against yourselves. You have served, you have chosen him, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and obey his voice, and his voice we will obey. They could hear the voice of God again. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it under a great oak. And there by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone is a witness unto us, for we have heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your Lord. So Joshua let the people depart, every man his inheritance. And it come to pass afterwards that these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Our time has come and gone tonight. Now, I wanted to show you this because you said, now, Brother Avery, that's Old Testament. You know what? Go back and read how that there was the warning of whenever in Book of Acts, whenever we saw how that Stephen was stoned. Also, Peter warned about how that the fathers rejected the prophets and killed them and warned the people in the Book of Acts to serve their God. We know that Stephen, whenever he stood up and preached, he preached this very same sermon to the people in the New Testament time, and he warned them to put away the false gods, because there was the gods of Egypt that carried out, and he warned the people, even after Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, to put the false gods away, turn unto the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, Stephen warned them. He said, repent. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they stoned him to death. And it said he looked up into heaven, seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Remember, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, he looked up and seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus gave him a standing ovation. We know, of course, the coach was held by Saul, who later became Paul. And we know that there were some people got saved, but this we do know, they warned, don't serve other gods. Why halt you between two opinions? Tonight, folks, as we close out this broadcast, in the New Testament context of the Scripture, I want to ask you, have you been delivered out of Egypt? You see, the world is a type of Egypt. The blood of Jesus is the type of the Passover. He is the type of the Passover. Whenever was the people not baptized through the cloud and through the sea? That's what the book again says, that the church in the desert, Moses, and literally this is in the book of Corinthians, read it. The church in the desert, Pastor Moses and the church in the desert, are they not baptized into the sea and into the air, and yet they rejected God? He says, harden not your hearts in the day of the prevocation when they saw my works and proved me and tried me for 40 years. But today, if you will repent, ask Jesus to forgive you, confess your sin and transgression, ask Jesus to come into your heart, put away the false gods of this world and quit serving the things of this world, quit serving the flesh, the devil in the world, quit serving the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of it, quit serving your lustful desires, but receive Christ as Savior, ask him to come into your heart, be born again, confess your sin, and put away the false gods, and quit serving the lustful desires of your flesh, put away alcohol and laxity, and drunkenness and lying and cheating and stealing, and put away from you the things of this world, and let the Holy Ghost come in and begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost and walk with him and serve him. Why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord Jesus Christ be God, serve him. If it seemed to you a bad thing, then serve the flesh, the devil, and the world. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Let us pray. Father, as we close out this tonight, I pray for each and every listener believer. I pray that there will be some kind of revelation of truth, that they will see the things I preach is true. They'll catch the revelation, oh God. They will receive Christ as Savior. They'll become born again, or they'll come out of a backslidden state. They'll put away the false gods of this world. They'll quit trying to serve you, Lord Jesus, in the world, because, Lord, you said we're either going to serve the world or we're going to serve you. We're going to serve the flesh, the devil, and the world. We're going to serve you. We can't serve both. Father, tonight, I pray they'll put away the things of the world, repent, cry out in repentance, ask your forgiveness, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and serve you. I pray the revelation of the truth of God's word come upon us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Kelly, I turn it back to you.
Well, thank you, Brother Johnny. You hit a home run tonight. I know the Holy Spirit was leading you, but what can I say? It was wow. Did an awesome job.
Give the Lord a great praise. Well, I want to confess. You listen, I want to confess something to your listeners. The Lord gave me this scripture, and it was halt you between two opinions on chapter 24 there. Now, I actually haven't read that just recently. God gave me that scripture about an hour ago. And I just want your listeners to know that when I read all of chapter 24, I had actually forgotten that everything I was telling you is all mentioned in 24, and I didn't even remember that, because as I was reading chapter 24, I was like, wow, everything the Holy Ghost has given me, there it is. So I want to testify that that had to come from the Holy Spirit, because I had forgotten that that's what is in chapter 24. So I know I was led of the Holy Spirit, Brother Kelly.
Amen. Anytime you want to come on again, if you want to come on next Tuesday night, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Really,
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I could tell that the Holy Spirit really led you, and it was. I believe there was someone out there that probably needed to hear it.
Praise the Lord. All right, brother. Well, I really enjoyed being here with you. Lord willing, I will. This time next Tuesday night, I have to be in Indiana and Evansville. But I tell you what, if you want to, we'll make plans on it, because I actually, where I'm going to be, I can actually stop and do the broadcast. So we'll make plans on it.
Okay, sounds good. Well, my friends,
all right.
My friends, I'd like to wish you all a good night, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all, and may you always walk in the footsteps. Amen.
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 God bless. All right.
God bless. All right.